Ellie Alexander writes murder mystery set in Ashland. Her first book was called Meet Your Baker. Just love these names. And number two in the Bake Shop mystery series just came out, and it's a batter of life and death. She joins us to talk about her work. Thanks for being here, Ellie.
Thanks so much for having me. I feel like when you say the titles, you need a pastry knife over your shoulder, a batter of life and death.
Good to play on words, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background. Are you a baker or a writer or both? Or
absolutely. I'm a little bit of both. I grew up in a very eclectic reading and baking household. My dad was an honors English teacher and was very focused on Shakespeare. So he would quote soliloquies and sonnets all the time. And my mom was a prolific mystery reader. They also had similar styles in terms of their baking. He would make these beautiful 8-layered chocolate hazelnut torts, where my mom would make just old-fashioned raspberry Danish. So those influences really inspired my writing, for sure, especially this series.
Is this your first series of books that you've written? Have you done other kinds of writing?
I historically did nonfiction, so it's really fun to dive into fiction, especially working with Ashland as a medium. I can take a spot on the plaza and say, you know what, it would be much more convenient if Jules, the main character in the book, could see across the street to her nemesis's hotel. And so, you know, you can move things around in fiction, which you can't do in nonfiction.
That's true. But at the same time, it's kind of nice when you live in an area to pick up a book, a work of fiction, and you can visualize. And sometimes I guess you have to get past that with the author, where the author has to change things just a little bit to make it work.
Absolutely. I read mysteries as escapism, first and foremost. I think they're cerebral in that you as the reader have the same opportunity as the sleuth to figure out who did it. You have to puzzle through the clues and piece them together. But they are light and fun. I've always read them historically as travelogues, though, and I love creating that sense of place. And Ashland has such a rich sense of place and culture and community that I'm just having a blast putting it all together.
Well, yeah, you can move all kinds of different things into the story, can't you? Include the Shakespeare element and whatever.
Yes, absolutely. OSF gets featured in the books for sure. I have a friend who was a former marketing director, so I've picked her brain extensively. And of course, then it's an opportunity to have to come down and see some shows and take a backstage tour to make sure I get the theater workings right. The theater is so ripe with drama anyway, so it plays well in a murder mystery, obviously.
And this genre is called cozy mysteries, right?
Correct.
Now, something about the word cozy and death in the same sentence doesn't make sense to me. But what is a cozy mystery?
I know, it doesn't quite work, does it? So a cozy traditionally means that it's usually takes place in a small town or village with an amateur sleuth. So in this series, Juliet Montague Capshaw. She'd prefer to be called Jules. I know, I know.
Perfect Shakespeare name, huh?
Exactly. Is a pastry chef. And so she's returned to Ashland to help run the family bake shop tort. Traditionally, cozies also don't have a lot of gratuitous violence, so you're not going to see a lot of blood and guts. The murder usually takes place almost off stage, so the focus is really on solving the crime. Lots of red herring, so every character is hiding something or lying about something, so hopefully you as the reader are going to go down some trail and then realize, ooh, no, that's a dead end and have to come back.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question about the mechanics of writing, because I'm always fascinated by this with writers. Do you have a set schedule where you treat it like a job and like between these hours I'm going to write or between these hours I'm going to research? Or do you just sort of kick back on the couch and wait for the inspiration to hit and then go at it madly? What's your work procedure that you do?
I wish the latter were true. Like, oh, the muse just comes and strikes. No, so I write 2,000 words every day. Yep. I start my morning at 8 a.m. and I write until I hit that deadline. So sometimes that takes me 3 or 4 hours. Sometimes it takes me all day. Once I hit that 2,000 word count, then usually I get outside, I go for a walk. I find that usually my best inspiration strikes when I'm not actually in front of my laptop pounding away at the keys. I also write straight through first drafts, so I don't do any editing as I go. I want the story to just flow and come out. They're horrible first drafts. Let me just clarify that for any aspiring writers out there. They're terrible. But the idea is the story then comes together. Once I have a complete manuscript, I tuck it away and I don't touch it for hopefully a month, if not a little longer, let it rest, get some space from it, and then I come back and start the process of editing. So it's a full-time job for sure.
If you'd like to join the conversation this morning and ask Ellie about her books, give us a call on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. you have several books in this series. You have at least another one coming out near the end of the year, correct?
Correct.
Now, is this the type of series that you wanted to go on for many, many books, or do you have an end point in mind that you want to wrap everything up?
Absolutely not. I would love for this to be a long-running series. As I said to my editor, as long as I can come up with ways to kill people off and pastry recipes, then it has legs and life.
Well, yes. Humanity's pretty good at killing one another, so you ought to be able to find lots of ideas, right?
I know. My husband does get a little worried when I get excited. I did a talk at a spice shop, and I learned that there's a particular spice. I don't want to give anything away because this is definitely going to work into a future book, but I learned there's a particular spice that can be quite deadly. So I came home from that talk, and he said, you know, I think maybe we need to lay off the excitement over finding a new way to kill someone off. But yeah.
Is there ever a limitation where you've decided, okay, we're centered around this bake shop or around a theme like this? At some point in time, do you think, boy, I wish I could just expand out a little bit and maybe set the murder in the next door business? Can you find enough things to flow into something like this? I would think that would be hard.
That's what I love about Southern Oregon. So, of course, obviously, when people think of Ashland, they think of the Shakespeare Festival and the college and sort of the artistic community. But there's so much richness all throughout Southern Oregon. So I want to send Jules to the Rogue River and up to Mount Ashland. The third book in the series, which comes out in December, get ready for the title, On Thin Icing. I know.
Good.
She is going to be up at Lake of the Woods. My family and I have vacationed there every summer, and I just love it. It's like stepping back in time. There's no cell service. Hopefully there's still not. I haven't been up this summer. But so, yes, she's gonna expand throughout the region for sure.
I guess if you're including mountains and rivers and stuff, there will be a lot of death potentially available, won't there?
Yeah, that's a terrible way to think about it. But yes, absolutely. I like the way you think.
In one of the reviews, maybe it was on your first book, somebody described it as a light souffle. I loved that term. Do you think that's accurate? And what does that mean to you? What is a light souffle for your book?
I do think it's a light souffle. I think reading is... I read everything. I read everything from literary fiction to nonfiction. I've been on a sci-fi kick lately. I think reading is such an escape. And so to me, that is the definition of a light souffle. Of course, this particular series, because Jules is a pastry chef, have recipes included in them. So I love weaving in some of that food writing. I feel like I have to spend a lot of time in bake shops for the authentic research, right? And I spend a lot of time in my kitchen. When I finish that 2,000 word count, I'm often upstairs testing recipes in my home kitchen, and I love that piece of it too.
So you mentioned writers and that you like to read. Who are some of your influences?
Oh my gosh, who isn't? So I love P.D. James. Agatha Christie, of course, was an early influence. I loved Nancy Drew as a young kid. I like a lot of historical fiction. Willa Cather was a favorite of mine. I love anything by Jane Austen. I've just finished reading this great book by Anne Goodwin, which is How to Be a Victorian. So it's a dawn to dusk guide of the Victorian lifestyle, and she walks you through everything. Yeah, my eclectic reading style goes into every genre, and yeah.
You mentioned you also did some nonfiction. Was that recipes or what was that writing?
That writing, so I wrote a lot of freelance magazine and stories for different newspapers and things like that. And then actually I wrote a memoir about losing my mom to young onset Alzheimer's when I was becoming a mom for the first time. Mm-hmm. My mom developed Alzheimer's in her early 50s, and I was pregnant with my first and only child at the time. So that experience of just... Mm-hmm. Yes. So actually, when I decided I wanted to write mysteries, I had just come off of writing this very deep and serious piece of work. And I was saying to a girlfriend, I can't believe that I want to write this light souffle of a mystery. But it goes back to that idea that I think readers, you need a little bit of everything. Sometimes you want something that's dark and heavy and really rich. And sometimes you want something that just is light and easy with a little murder mixed in.
With just a little murder.
Just a little.
Well, why don't we have you read a selection
from
A Batter of Life and Death?
You bet.
And we'll go from there.
I thought I would read the very opening for you because, you know, the farther in, I might give away something.
Yeah, you don't want to. You're going to toss out a red herring here?
That's right, yeah. They say that time heals a broken heart. I've noticed that no one mentions exactly how much time it takes, though. A week? A month? A year? Having a solid number might have made me feel better since my heart was mending slowly. While I waited for the heartache to subside, I'd busied myself with building a new life in my sweet hometown of Ashland, Oregon. Never would I have imagined that I'd be saying that when I left the ship and my husband last summer. Returning to Ashland was supposed to be a temporary stop until I figured out what I was going to do next. Mom had advised me to take things slow. One day at a time, Jules. You don't need to figure out everything this minute. She was right. Her word stuck, and so did I. The summer breezed by in a whirlwind of activity. Ashland is home to the world-famous Oregon Shakespeare Festival and a playground for outdoor enthusiasts with sunny mountains and rivers. During the summer months, our little town bursts at the seam with tourists, actors, playwrights, backpackers, and whitewater guides. Tort, our family bake shop, sits right in the middle of downtown. Mom's been serving up a selection of sweet and savory pastries with a side of love for nearly three decades. She and my dad purchased the cheery space that houses the bake shop when I was a kid. Most of my early memories are sitting on a bar stool next to the butcher block island while the two of them kneaded bread dough and chatted with customers. Dad would quote Shakespeare and engage out-of-town visitors in lively discussions about OSF's latest plays. Mom would press tart crusts into tins and act as a sounding board for locals who came into the shop for more than just a warm cup of coffee.
So were you an overnight success?
I don't know
about
that.
Did you find a publisher fairly quickly?
I did.
This is St. Martin's, isn't it?
This is St. Martin's, yes. Yeah. I was quite fortunate in that, but I also think it's because I did a lot of research. I also think that Ashland and the Northwest in particular haven't really had that success on the East Coast in this particular genre, mm-hmm. so I think there's some appeal to that. The area sells itself, which is nice.
Right. It's a unique place to live.
It is such a unique place to live and such a great place to write about. So my agent was able to sell it really quickly. I attended the Willamette Writers Conference up in Portland, where you kind of do speed dating with agents. You get 5 minutes one-on-one to kind of pitch your idea. And that experience went really well. And then it was pretty quick in that process.
Well, good.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the future of fiction? You read a lot of stuff online about how the industry is good or bad or whatever. Do you think there's still a good, solid place for people to write fiction? It seems like the access is easier. Anybody can publish an ebook, even without editing, unfortunately. But at the same time, does that make it harder for people to find particular authors?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, obviously, there's a lot on the market, so there's that piece. But I think fiction is still really thriving, particularly genre fiction. The mass market paperback, which is what this series is published in, is still the best-selling in every demographic. So even millennials are still buying paperbacks more than their e-readers, which is shocking and exciting to me. So I've found that I'm finding ease in finding readers, for sure. Yeah.
When you get stuck for inspiration, what do you do to try to get the juices going?
When I get stuck for inspiration, I have my entire office right now. I'm working on the fourth book in the series. The series has just been renewed, which is super exciting, which means there'll be another three in addition to the three that I've already written. I have my entire office lined with pictures of baked goods, which is a bit dangerous, I have to say. Recipes, cookbooks, lots of Shakespeare. I have pictures of the Oregon Shakespeare Fest up. I also create playlists for each character. So Juliet, has returned home. You got a little taste of that from the selection that I read to Ashland to heal her broken heart. We don't really know what's gone on, but she's left her husband on the ship, and she's here to kind of cocoon herself in. So I listen to a lot of sad songs when I'm writing Jules because she's a romantic at heart. She blames it on her name. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to live up to. And then I get outside. I watch a lot of cooking shows. The Food Network is heavy on my playlist.
You don't watch the CSI type shows?
I don't. I can't do it. No, my husband does that. But I stick with the lighter fare for sure.
So if you were to watch these more serious mysteries on the movies or television or something, you think that would, like, adversely affect your writing?
One thing that no one told me is that it's really hard now to even read the genre. Having been a lover of mysteries for so long, I read them, especially in the summer, you know, great beach reads and everything. I can't read them now because it's too much like work. I find myself picking apart plot or worried that somebody else's voice is going to get in my head. So I think the same could be true of television, which is such a bummer.
Yeah. I've worked in TV and radio my whole life, and sometimes I can't watch it because I know what's going on. And you start to analyze every little thing that you see or hear. It makes it does make it difficult. Do you have plans to also include more nonfiction writing as you go along with the fiction? I mean, would that be something hard to juggle at the same time?
That's a good question. I'm not sure would be the short answer to that. I do some blogging and things like that on the side, especially when a new book like this one is coming out. So I like that piece of just writing a short essay instead of, you know, a 80,000 word manuscript. It's nice sometimes just to sit down and do like a 2,000 word piece. But at this point in time, I'm so focused on delivering manuscripts that I just don't have a lot of time. But I refuse to rule anything out. I might at some point.
If you'd like to join the conversation, and if you have a question for Ellie Alexander and her new book in the Bake Shop Mystery Series, the two books, Meet Your Baker, and the new one is A Batter of Life and Death, give us a call at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm kind of curious about that process of your writing and dealing with the publisher and deadlines. And can you give us a little peek behind the curtain about how that process works?
Sure. So it is a lot longer process than it seems. I just am getting ready to deliver book four. It will take probably a year, a little under a year, before that actually works its way onto bookstore shelves. So I send it to my editor. She sends back editorial feedback, which might be, you know, oh, let's give readers a little bit more backstory because now we're going to be in the third book that comes out in December, that sort of thing. Or, you know, maybe we could beef up this storyline. Once I finish that round of editorial edits, then it goes to a copy editor who goes line by line and finds commas, misspellings, make sure everything is grammatically correct. Then it goes into galleys and we get early review copies that get sent out to all the review publications. Then we get cover flat. So it's quite the process. A lot of people touch it along the way, which I love because I think everyone who touches it makes my writing better and stronger.
Mm-hmm. So as you're going along and you have, I guess, now another four books planned at this point in time. So you have things moving in various stages simultaneously, right? So
yes.
You could be potentially, you're writing one book while somebody's proofreading a previous book, right?
Absolutely.
Does that ever get confusing?
It does, yeah. In fact, I had just seen some page proofs of book three and I thought, oh my gosh, no, that's wrong. Oh, no, I'm already working on book four. My office has a giant whiteboard and it looks like I might be a bit crazy sometimes because there are dates and lots of X'd out places and arrows and things like that. Yeah, it gets a little hard to track, but it's a good problem to have.
Well, our guest this morning has been Ellie Alexander and her new book in the series, A Batter of Life and Death. I have one final question before we go. What's your favorite baked good?
Oh, that's a great question. I think my favorite is my mom's raspberry Danish, which is in the first book. It's just nostalgia and so delicious and gooey.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.